You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I can see the rainbow. I can see the pot of gold at the end of it. Oh no, this can't be happening.
And where do you think you're going, might I ask?
I'm hunting for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And on my journey, I'm looking for me lucky charms. They're magically delicious.
You seem to forget that the pot of gold is never going to be found until you take your car to Perfection Auto Works. Their 26-point free inspection will uncover the problems with your car without the problem of breaking down.
Consider Perfection Auto Works to be your car's pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Call 323-8650. That's 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 South Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the Ina Road location, making this Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in all of Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved home furnishings into cash. Visit Homestyle Gallery Store at 2950 South Ina Road. They are open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square foot superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location at 2950 South Ina Road, Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked about, and listened to weekend political talk show in all of Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. Great lineup of guests today. Drew Hinton will be with us, chairperson of the Libertarian Party in Pima County. Who are these libertarians and what do they want? Everything you wanted to know about the Libertarian Party in Pima County but have been afraid to ask. Mo Goldman will be with us, one of the most respected immigration lawyers in America. Arizona sees spike in border crossings. Montana joins Arizona's lawsuit to halt the Biden immigration plan. And U.S. relatives of kids who cross the border can safely step forward now. Then we'll talk with Jim Hanley, our financial advisor, about what's happening in the market with the release of $2 billion of federal help on the way to the American people. Should be a great show. I'm so glad you decided to join us. Here is Drew Heaton, the chairperson of the Libertarian Party in Pima County. Drew, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, John. Thank you for having me. I'm very honored.
You know, if you ask Republicans who they are, what they believe in, I suppose they would say smaller government and more responsibility, blah, blah, blah. Then you'd ask the Democrats, well, what do you believe in? They would say, well, equality for this and equality for that. What would you say if you're a libertarian? What do you tell people what you are?
So you asked something very interesting. Who are these libertarians and what do they want? We want to take over and leave you alone. We believe in the live and let live philosophy, which really is peaceful. You know, what it really means is that I can disagree with you, but I can live peaceably with you. And I think really libertarians are poised to do that more than either the Republicans or the Democrats at this point.
You know, you take a look at this. You get Republicans, over 14,000 have left the Republican Party since Trump left the White House. Democrats are not registering as much as they did before. There is a dissatisfaction out there. How would the Libertarian Party offer those who are dissatisfied by the thousands of Republicans and Democrat philosophies?
Well, you're absolutely right. And as I've said in other forums, I think it's a monumental failure on the Libertarian Party's that we have the Republicans going off, the dissatisfied Republicans, I should say, going off and creating another party, when if we had been speaking loud enough and long enough all along, they would have realized what our party represents. And as far as the Democrats, I will say that I, especially as of late, have met very many who are still on the books as Democrats, or those who are leaving and becoming independent, because things like wars of aggression are really what gravitated them towards the party. And now they're seeing clearly that their party is not representing those things. And yes, I did kind of have to laugh when you introduced the Republicans as smaller government. And the point of a political party really is a group of individuals who adhere to a specific founding principle, right? And so I find it that the difference between the duopoly of the Republicans and the Democrats versus the Libertarians is that each one of those is exclusive in nature. Whereas the Libertarians, we are inclusive in nature, whereas we can have someone who's a very right-thinking Christian Libertarian, and we can also have someone who's very left social concerns Libertarian. So we're actually very inclusive in nature, where the other parties, as we see them, are exclusive, and ironically, they rarely adhere to the values and that they say that they profess that they believe in. So,
well, I'll tell you, Drew, it's probably realistic to believe that there's not going to be the next governor that'll be a Libertarian, or the next president or Congress or whatever. But it would seem to me, if the Democratic Party or the Republican Party can adopt some of the philosophy of the Libertarian Party, you win. You win. I mean, you may not have had the kind of numbers of converts that you'd like, but you've won because people are adopting what you believe to be the right course for the politics of America. Let's talk about personal liberty, economic liberty, security liberty, because that's really the foundation, it seems to me, of the Libertarian Party and those three liberties. Talk, if you will, about personal liberty, economic liberty, security liberty, if you will.
So in a nutshell, I know that there are those who could probably speak to the economic liberty in depth a little more than I can, but I'm going to stick to some general things just so that people can understand where we're coming from. And, you know, the Libertarian Party is based on the moral principle of self-ownership. Who owns me? Who owns you? And we do not believe that the government owns us. So I think, especially that in light of the live and let live philosophy, I could talk to Democrats and Republicans and they agree with that. Where we diverge really with either one of those is that, seeing government as the problem, or, you know, what is the role or the proper role of government? So I'd like to stick with sort of the personal liberty. And you do bring up something that's very interesting that I hear a lot. I will hear Democrats saying, well, you know, I'm Democrat, but I'm Libertarian leading. I also hear Republicans saying, well, I'm Republican, I'm squarely in the Republican Party, but, you know, I'm Libertarian leading. The differentiation that needs to be made, and I think really needs to be understood, is, again, that proper role of government in our lives. And from my perspective, forgive me, but from my perspective as a Libertarian, what I see both the Democrats and the Republicans doing is forcing their morality on someone else. Whereas in the Libertarian Party, we can say, you have your morals, you have your morals, you're welcome here. We can agree to live peaceably. But to go a little bit further, I think people mistakenly think that government is a building, or government is those elected officials, and really the foundations of our country was And Washington said, government is force. Government is force, period. So government means, you know, if you do this or you don't do that, we will take your life. You know, we will suppress, alter, or take your life physically in the or in the form of your property. So we recognize that that's really what government is, and we don't want to force our morality on anyone. So that's kind of where we sit on that political spectrum. And I think one of the main misunderstandings that people have about the live and let live or individualism. So, for example, you know, the Libertarian Party is based on the moral principle of self-ownership. And I'd really like to read a little bit of the preamble of our Libertarian Party. As libertarians, we seek a world of liberty, a world in which all individuals are sovereign over their own lives and are not forced to sacrifice their values for the benefit of others. We believe that the respect for individual rights is the essential precondition for a free and prosperous world, and that force and fraud must be banished from human relationships, and that only through freedom can peace and prosperity be realized. So I don't think a lot of people will necessarily disagree with that, but I think that we are often misunderstood. If I could take this spectrum, so to speak, and I could say on one end is individualism and on the other end is collectivism, people will put us on one end and say, well, you believe in individualism, what I would say, regardless. You know, you believe in individual rights regardless of what you do to hurt someone else. And actually, that is, there couldn't be anything farther from the truth. So again, picture that scale, that spectrum, if you will, with individualism regardless on one end and collectivism on the right, on the other. And to me, that sweet spot, that pivotal, you know, where we have balance for that is the non-aggression principle, where we should be, as individuals, as humans, we should be able to live our lives the way that we see fit, interact with people voluntarily. You know, we shouldn't be legislating our morality on another people as long as we don't hurt someone else. And that's really what the non-aggression principle is.
Let me ask you to stand by. I'm going to take a break. But I will tell you that I think there's a curiosity from those that might be listening about how libertarians would govern. First of all, we have to have somebody to govern. Sure. I'm not going to go fix the street in front of my house. 2.5 months ago, I'm up at my computer, 5 o'clock in the morning. Some meth head literally kicks in my front door. I'm not kidding you. Kicks in my front door. My dog goes him and scares the living hell out of me. Goes next door. He terrorizes a 90-year-old woman who lives next door to me. And throws rocks through the windows of cars in my townhouse complex. It terrorized the whole neighborhood. Police arrive promptly, arrest him, and stop him from his terrorism of our street and our neighborhood. I want somebody to govern that would provide some protection for me, because I'm not really adapt to dealing with meth heads at 5 o'clock in the morning, no matter how frightened I might be. I'm just not the person that is going to be able to do that. So I want to know, how will libertarians govern? Because I want a stop sign two blocks away from the street that I go to get out of my complex. I want the police there when I'm needed, or if there is a fire, I'd love to have a fire engine there. So how will libertarians govern will be my next question. Please stand by, if you will, Drew, and I'll be right back with you, please.
Sure, great.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for being with us. Back in a moment. Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guinea's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guinea's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffee, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Drew Heaton is my guest. She is the chairwoman of the Libertarian Party in Pima County. How would the Libertarian Party govern? The question for you, Drew.
Great, John. I think we have to back up just a little bit, though, first, because I think there's this general understanding, or like I started off in the first segment, thinking that government is somehow separate from the people, or that it's maintained within a building or a legislative body. Government has no rights that are, you know, there are no rights vested to government that are not inherently part of the individual. And I do want to answer your question. I need us to back up a little bit. Okay. So I could guard my house with a firearm 24/7. I could, have my water hose out there and, you know, be ready to defend it in case of a fire or things like that. But because I want to live other parts of my life, there are things that I do that I vest my power. That power is inherently mine. It is inherently yours. It is inherently ours as a group of people to vest that power in someone else. So before I totally get off on answering your question, understand that government does not have power that we as individuals don't have. So when I vest some of that power in, let's say, a police force or, some kind of governing body to protect me, I do that, but they are not in any way over me or ruling my life. So I think the concern for a lot of people is, well, won't we just have lawlessness? And that's really not the case. I'm so sorry about what just happened to you, John. I mean, I know our police force right now, especially in Pima County in the city of Tucson, is being stripped right now. And part of that is that the people that we have elected to, given them, vested some of our rights in them as a political body, are not acting in a way that would secure our safety. And by that, I mean that we have police officers leaving the force in droves. We're not safe. We're not feeling very safe. And so I'm not saying for us to take those protections away, but I do think we have to address at a deeper level what is causing those things to happen.
Drew, let me, I apologize, we're running out of time here. I want people to know how to get a hold of you or to learn about the Libertarian Party beyond the bounds of this rather limited interview on this radio show. So how do people know more and expand on what you've been able to tell us about the Libertarian Party? How would you join the Libertarian Party? Who do you talk to? Where do you go for information? Give me all of that in about 2 minutes, please.
Okay, so you would go to PimaLP.org. You could also find us on Facebook. Also, AZLP.org. That's the Arizona website. But yes, I would really encourage people to go to PimaLP.org. I would encourage them to read the platform and ask themselves if they, if they don't feel like this in some way resonates with them, because I know that it resonated with me. I was an independent for, 20 years. If pressed, I would explain that I felt like I was a constitutional libertarian, but I only recently joined the Libertarian Party specifically because I wanted to have a hand in election integrity. And you have to be part of a party in order to do that. But it was really ultimately the platform of the Libertarian Party that I believe is very peaceful. I'm asking people to join my, what I call my peaceful warrior posse. We are poised at this point to really bridge the gap when it comes to the social divide in our society, which from what I see are two parties, the duopoly that is very divisive. And we say, you know, keep your beliefs and your values, come join us and help us to bring peace and prosperity.
So you can go online, right? And where do I go? Tell me again.
To PIMA, P-I-M-A-L-P. So it's PIMA as in our county, and LP stands for Libertarian Party, .org. So PIMALP.org.
And obviously, there's always, I think, attempts to grow this party, and you fight an uphill battle because the two major parties do almost everything they possibly can to put roadblocks in your way to becoming even a greater force. But you do that with knowing those obstacles are there each and every election opportunity. We're going to have you back when we have more time. Drew, it's been great talking with you. Thank you so
much,
John, for talking about the alternative, the Libertarian Party in Pima County. I appreciate you so much being on this radio show. Thank you, and have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing yours with us.
Thank you, John. You take care.
You bet. Drew Heaton of the Libertarian Party. A little bit about the Libertarians you didn't know. Perfection Auto Works Studios is the location of the John C. Scott Show each weekend, Saturdays at 3. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back with Mo Coleman, one of the most respected immigration lawyers in America. Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubble, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. Jack was broke, and so was his Jaguar. He needed to sell it quick. He ran into an old man.
Hey, watch where you're going.
Sorry. Hey, you want to buy a car?
Sure, kid. It looks like a nice car. How about if I give you these magical beans?
Wow, what a deal!
Barnum was right.
The old man took the car to Bogus Auto Repair, where they only do a 6-point vehicle inspection. Overlooking the faulty brakes, the car went careening off a cliff. Now here's Mike Emery with the moral of the story.
Make no beans about it. Taking your car to Perfection Auto Works guarantees you get a free 26-point inspection, 1 year, 12,000-mile warranty on all of our work, and an auto mechanic shop that cares to give you the very best in automotive repairs. Call 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Montana's top prosecutor just last week joined a lawsuit filing just last week, also followed by a filing of Arizona's Attorney General Mark Brnovich to stop a 100-day moratorium on deportation issues issued by the Biden administration. There's a halt in Biden's immigration plan. Let's discuss the new Biden immigration plan with one of the most respected immigration lawyers in America. Here's Mo Golden. Mo, welcome to the show. What's different about Biden's plan for the border and the Trump plan for the border?
Good afternoon, John.
Hi.
Are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm so glad to rejoin you with your expertise.
I know we haven't spoken in over a year.
We're going to do that a lot more.
First of all, I just wanted to express my condolences on the passing of your wife, Amy. My wife has the same name, and so we have a connection there.
I miss her every single hour of every single day. Thank you so much.
Man.
All right.
First of all, I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Thanks.
Secondly, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on with the immigration system and how things may be different now versus the way they were before the changeover in administrations. At this point, I think we're really in this transition time, and obviously there's going to be litigation that, you know, will be coming from different states, like we saw from Arizona and Texas and other states regarding the deportation moratorium. As far as how things are being handled at the border, I think one of the key words to take away from, you know, this administration, at least in the first 30 to 60 days, has been rescission. The Biden administration is in the process of rescinding a lot of the policies that were in place under the Trump administration. And one of the most significant changes was on February 11th, where DHS, Department of Homeland Security, announced that they are going to start unwinding the migrant protection protocols. And what that means really is that we've got thousands of people who are sitting on the border right now who have been waiting to come for their date for an interview to be processed for their claim on asylum. Most of them are from Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador. And there's just a bottleneck of people waiting at the border. And now, of course, we're starting to see that combined with the, I think, normal flow of immigrants that come across around this time of year, which is causing the huge numbers that we're starting to see, processed at the ports of entry. And so I think what we're just kind of on this, you know, cusp of change. I mean, there's definitely some changes in policy, but ultimately, I think it's just, you know, the idea of supply and demand. There's so much demand, and, you know, combined with the number of people who are processing these individuals for interviews and then ultimately having to go in front of immigration judges, you've got a situation where there's going to definitely be a bottleneck for the foreseeable future.
You know, Mo, this is going to be a brief interview, and I'm going to reschedule you for a very extended interview about this important subject very soon, either next week or the week after, but if you can accommodate me. But the Biden administration hopes to relieve the strain of thousands, really thousands, of unaccompanied children coming to the southern border by ending this Trump-era order that discouraged potential family sponsors from coming forward to care for them. We heard about children in cages. Now we hear about literally large numbers of children unaccompanied by adults at the border.
Yeah.
Take about 4 minutes, and tell me about the children.
So I think the difficult situation, I mean, the most difficult situation is what to do with all these children. You know, we're talking about thousands upon thousands of them. And, you know, they're coming, of course, during a very difficult time. I mean, we're in the midst of a pandemic. And then the question is one of resources, like where are we going to put these children for the time being while they have to go through some sort of process? You know, some of them might have sponsors or people who are willing to take them in and have them in their homes, but many of them do not have that. And so what we see is a lot of them are going to start getting distributed into agencies that are under the Health and Human Services, Health and Human Services, HHS, and they are going to be under a system where they have to, go through a process, just like anybody else who wants to go through a legal immigration process. And I think one of the things to keep in mind is that this is a legal immigration process that these minors are going through, where they have to be interviewed by an officer from the Department of Homeland Security, and each individual case is going to be evaluated on its own merits, ultimately to determine whether they can remain in the United States. based on either maybe a claim of asylum, or they were abandoned or neglected by their parents, and there are ways to go about getting a green card that way, or are they going to ultimately be deported? And, you know, it's just it's a crisis upon a crisis right now, and it's hard to say where the future will take us with these cases. But I can say from my own practice over the last few years, and even into the last several months, you know, the number of children that are coming from this just horrible situation that's going on in their home countries has just, it's incredible, the numbers of children and the increase of demand and hope that maybe they can get some help in the United States. So I think we're really going to see this as an issue ongoing for several months, probably for years now. I mean, until the countries like Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala can, you know, maybe get things together, we're just going to continue to see this flow of people seeking help.
Yes or no, are you more optimistic about a more humane policy, a more human policy, a policy we can be proud of rather than ashamed of? Got about 30 seconds.
I'd say yes. I think we will see it. I think it's going to take a little time. I mean, you know, we've got a new administration that came in. I think the pieces are in place for a much kinder, better system that will be more, you know, humane, especially under Alejandro Mayorkas' leadership at the Department of Homeland Security. I think we're moving into the right direction, but it's not going to happen immediately. It's going to take some time.
Well, we're going to reschedule for a longer interview. I appreciate you giving me.
I have a lot to tell you
about. I know you do. I have a lot I want to know.
But I look forward to it. So right. I'll touch base with you guys this week, and we'll get me back on the calendar.
You absolutely will be with an extended interview. It's just so important that we understand what's happening to the border. Not only is it in our neighborhood, it is in our lives and in our mind and hopefully in our hearts. It's what's happening so close to home here. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Have a great day, John.
You bet. One of the best immigration lawyers in America, Mo Goldman, and a regular to the John C. Scott Show. Thanks again. I'll be back with Jim Hanley. He is our financial expert. What will the relief bill do for this country's economy? The money's starting to flow. Have you received yours yet? We'll talk with Jim Hanley next.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 South Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the Ina Road location, making this Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in all of Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved home furnishings into cash. Visit Homestyle Gallery Store at 2950 South Ina Road. They are open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square foot superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location at 2950 South Ina Road, Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues, such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Receiving the right financial advice during these difficult times can make all the difference. This is the time to meet Jim Hanley. He owns a financial advisory company. His company administers millions of dollars through his customer accounts, small enough to offer personal representation, large enough to offer a myriad of opportunities to protect and grow your investments. Here's Jim Hanley. Jim, here we have $2 billion and not one Republican vote when 70% of Americans say this is the right thing to do. Give me the money.
Hey, John, first thing we got to do is add three zeros after that billion.
Oh, trillion, I'm sorry.
$2 billion.
I keep getting that confused. It's far beyond my comprehension to think of a trillion. Trillion.
It's a staggeringly huge number, $1.9 trillion. But this is really buoying the markets. We see the Dow setting a few times last week, historical high record. It closed Friday at 32,778. That was 4.07% over the previous Friday. And the NASDAQ also did quite well. It was up 3% Friday to Friday. So markets are very buoyed by the American Rescue Plan. Surprisingly, we don't see any Republicans on board with that, though. Isn't that curious, John?
Yes, I'm curious.
We didn't see one single vote from our Republican friends in Congress for the American Rescue Plan. I don't know if that's, you know, that's going to hurt them at the ballot box the next time around, because this is wildly popular. 76% of Americans support the American Rescue Plan, and for very good reason. First of all, checks. We badly need money in the hands of the working poor, certainly in the hands of the of poor people. And so $1,400 per adult is going to help tremendously. We know that that benefit is means tested. So we know that if you're making $85,000 a year or more, you won't get any of that. And I think that that's a smart thing. Why should we create more debt, you know, just going to people who really don't need it? People that make that much money typically own their own homes and are ahead of their mortgage payments and so forth, a lot of self-employed professionals and managerial people. So, you know, that they don't need that check. We also are going to see for those who are unemployed, we're going to see a $300 per week unemployment supplement. And gee, don't we need that here in Arizona, where we have among the stingiest unemployment compensation in the country at $270 a week? And who can live on that, John? You know, it's a disgrace. Now we do see some relief in this current legislature. They're talking about increasing it to $330 a week. You know, what are you going to do with that, all that 70 bucks, you know? But it's better than the sharp stick in the eye, as they say. So we also see $350 billion of that $1.9 trillion is going to go to the states, cities, tribal governments, because we know that even the city of Tucson is hurting. It still has to keep its doors open, still has to fund the very expensive first responders, police and fire. They got to make those pension payments. And speaking of that, besides the $350 billion of aid to cities and states, there's $80 billion for school districts and to help make those pension fund payments. So a lot of good news on the horizon. I loved what President Biden said, that, you know, and it harks back to the time of Ronald Reagan when he says government's not here to solve the problem. He said government is the problem. No, we're going to close the chapter on that one, John, because we are seeing a federal government that recognizes that government needs to be there for people. That we don't need to be funding corporations and the richest Americans and helping them out, hoping that they will trickle down on us, that they will create the jobs, because we have decades to show that that is just a complete canard. It doesn't work. It's a fraud, in fact. So this is a new day. We're seeing these neoliberal policies going by the boards, that idea that Reagan had, and that, you know, free market capitalism is everybody's savior. It's not working. And so we also see the Congress emboldened to help unions gain the strength that they need to protect American workers, to help to negotiate better working conditions and higher wages in their workplaces. That's the PRO Act. We're seeing that. So let's keep an eye on the PRO Act, that is Protect the Right to Organize Act, that is going through the Senate right now. We still have the $15 an hour minimum wage. That fight is ahead of us. And so there's a lot of exciting movement in Congress. And what we see is the financial markets really loving it. So we're gonna have a block party on July 4th here down here, Camden Street, John. Let's have a block party and have a big barbecue on the 4th of July and celebrate the death of COVID-19, because Biden is on the job.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I just saw my granddaughter, who turned one just a couple days ago, for the first still. Actually, I saw her through the window one time, and the first time I've been able to hold her and get a smile and a hug from her for a year. Can you imagine? She lives six blocks from my house. Walk there, but I couldn't see or visit there because we were so protective of that. Now I have my shots. My daughter has shots all over the house, and the family's got shots. And plus, we're able to gather now with some level of confidence that we would not harm anyone, and of course ourselves. But I cannot tell you how much it has enriched my life to see this little one-year-old that I can now hold for the very first time. Very quickly, if people want to talk with you, if people want to know about Jim Hanley, just tell me what they should do and how simple it is. And by the way, your website's one of the best in America. Nobody has had more information in one website about a particular subject such as investing than you. But quickly, how do we reach you?
Well, the easiest way to reach me, John, is to call me up. Nobody answers my phone but me. I don't have a front desk. I don't have people that are screening my calls. You can call me up and get me on the phone. That is 520-623-3646. Or they can visit my website, which is https://jimhanleyllc.com. So come on over. I've got 42 articles in my blog there. They can see what I think about things, and they'll see that I'm an advocate for the working class. I know that a stronger working class is a stronger economy. When the economy works for all of us win. So let's, give me a call. I want to help you to chart a great financial plan for you and your family for financial success and security.
623-3646, Jim Hanley. Or go to jimhanleyllc.com. Jim, have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate what you do for so many people. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, John.
You bet. Jim
Bye-bye.
Hanley, LLC.com. I want to thank Mike Emery of Perfection Auto Works for being a prime sponsor of our show. I'm so comfortable with the relationship I have with Mike Emery because he can fix my car and I can't. And I drive a lot and I have to have my car and it has to run, it has to start and has to be safe. And he does all those things and gets it running and gets it safe for me. And it is so dependable and so is he. Go to Perfection Auto Works or call them at 323-8650. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum from KVOI, the voice, trusted local news and talk. 4 o'clock.
Geez, Edith, where's the car? Meathead was supposed to meet us out front there.
Oh, I meant to tell you, Archie. He took it over to Perfection Auto Works.
Oh, gosh, Edith, I told you I don't want anybody touching that car unless they know what they was doing.
Archie, Mike Emery knows what he's doing. He's ASE certified and he restores old cars.
Well, Edith, you done it again. Geez, Edith, is that the LaSalle? Listen to it purring.
It reminds me of the first time you took me out on a date, Archie.
Oh, yes, you were purring yourself that night, weren't you, Edith?
Oh, Archie.
Stifle yourself there, Edith.
We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, and even LaSalle. But don't let that scare your Toyota or Chevy away. 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
G-R-O-LaSalle and Gray.